Afreilin Chin Chanukah, hope everyone is well. We're starting now a new series, but I must admit that we're going to have to take a break with this series and B'li Nedar continue in a few weeks because as I noticed on the scheduling, Emir Hashem, next Friday is Asar B'Teves, and I'd like to discuss the halacha complexities of when Asar B'Teves falls out on Shabbos, so on Friday. So Emir Hashem, we will be taking a short starting Basa B'Cholov, but then taking a little bit of a break from it, hopefully revisiting it shortly after. But at least tonight, we're going to make what's called a Hakdama. We're going to make an intro to Basa B'Cholov, and hopefully in the subsequent weeks, we will be dealing with Basa B'Cholov-related issues. If there's time tonight, I would like to discuss, even outside, without Maran Mekermes, some interesting Chanukah Shilohs or some interesting Chanukah tidbits, perhaps, that are relevant. We'll see if time allows for it. In any case, a little bit of background behind Basa B'Cholov. So if you look over in source number one, the Torah tells us about the Isser of Basa B'Cholov in three places. Source number one is a pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim. The Torah tells us, Reishis B'Kuri Ad Moscha Tovi Beis Hashem Alekecha. The first of your new produce you should bring to the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, Loisiv Hashel Gedi B'Chei Levi Moi. Don't cook a goat in its mother's milk. This is source number one for the Torah's, what we call today, Basa B'Cholov. Now, it's interesting. The Torah doesn't write explicitly, Loisoichal Basar B'Cholov. Instead, the Torah writes it with regard to Bishul. Do not cook Gedi, a goat, with its mother's milk. That's Pasuk number one. Pasuk number two is later on in Sefer Shmois. The Torah says, Reishis B'Kuri Ad Masacha. Tavi Be. Oh, I quote the same Pasuk twice, okay? That's the same Pasuk, it's found later on. And then the third pasuk is in Sefer Dvar. Loisoichlu kol nevela. You're not allowed to eat nevela. La'ger asher b'sherecha titeina. You're supposed to give it to the ger. Va'acholo oy mochel anochi. Or you sell it to the guy. Ki am kodish atal Hashem l'kecha. Because we are a chosen nation. Loisiv asher gedi b'chalevi moy. So the Torah repeats this prohibition of do not cook a goat in its mother's milk three times throughout the Chumash. And the Gemara Chulin source 4. Gemara Chulin kuf tezvav amal. Says the Gemara, Tana debay. The baby Shmuel Tana. We learned in the base medrash baby Shmuel Loi Sivasha Gadi Bachelavima Gimel Pamim. The Torah wrote the violation of Loi Sivasha three times. Why? Echad Leser Achila wanted to give us a prohibition of eating Basa B'Cholov. The Echad Leser Hana. One is that one is not allowed to benefit from Basa B'Cholov, which we'll maybe discuss a little bit more tonight or in a different share. The practical ramifications of the Isser Hana of Basa B'Cholov. And the third is the Echad Leser Bishul. This is very important. Basa B'Cholov is asr even if you don't eat it. Let's say, for example, you have a desire to make a Basa B'Cholov dish and you will not eat it. You're going to make it and give it to someone else. That is still a violation of Loisiv Hashel. Because since the Torah wrote it in three places, there's three separate dinim. This is one of the uniquenesses of Basa B'Cholov that you don't find by other machalos asuris. We'll talk more about them. But over here, the Torah has three specific issers with Basa B'Cholov. Now, the first one is obviously the Isser Achila. The second two are very unique. The second two mean I'm not even allowed to derive pleasure from Basa B'Cholov. I'm not eating Basa B'Cholov, but I'm not even allowed to derive pleasure. For example, let's say a person has a pet that's his, or maybe not even his. It might even be a stray animal. And you want to give the pet Basa B'Cholov. So the Paiskim say that's Asr. That's called being Mahana. That's Hanah. I think we spoke about this, and not we should have spoke about this. This also comes up Pesach time. Very often people go Pesach to the zoo, and some of the animal foods might contain in its chametz, and the place can speak out, you're not allowed to feed animals, even if they're not yours. Because there's a certain pleasure, it's a geschmack of feeling to feed an animal. It makes you feel good. You feel like you're helping, you're making a difference in the world. Kol shekein, if it's your animal and you have an obligation to feed it. So here also, the place can talk about giving Bas B'Cholov to a pet. You got to make sure if you're going to have pets, that even the food that you feed them has to be kosher. Or let's say, for example, you want to own business, you want to own stocks. Again, stocks are more complicated, but let's say, for example, you're the owner of a business that trades in Basa B'Cholov. That's your profit, that's what you do for a living. So that become, again, I'm selling to only Goyim, but that's also questionable, because that's considered being Nene. And Bishul could be a problem. Let's say, for example, you want to cook a sandwich for your non-Jewish friend. Again, let's say you own a non-kosher restaurant. You're the Jewish guy who owns a non-kosher restaurant, you're the cook. And you're sitting in the back room and you're cooking up all the most delicious, wonderful Basa B'Cholov dishes. You're not serving it to any Jews, you're serving it to Goyim only. So that's also Asr. So there's three unique Isurim by Basa B'Cholov, presumably Deraisa. Learned that from the Pasuk of Loisiv Hashel Gedi. What is interesting So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, Pei Zayin. Siman Pei Zayin is the Siman Shulchan Aruch that discusses a lot of the simple parts of Basa B'chalav, like the general rules of Basa B'chalav. The Mechaber writes, Kosev B'tayr Lo Yisav Asher G'di B'chalav Lima Shalish Pamim, and he gives you in the brackets the sources. Echad L'Isser Bishol, V'Echad L'Isser Achil, V'Echad L'Isser Hana. V'Hoytzi Achil L'Moloshem Bishol, and the Torah took out. The Torah chose to use the Lashon Lo Yisav Asher, which means the Torah never writes anywhere, don't eat Basa B'chalav. Right, a quick pop question. If you ask someone, where does it say in the Torah not to eat Bas B'chal? The answer is, it doesn't really say that in the Torah. It says, Loi Siv Hashel. It says, don't cook. Loi Ma She'enoi Osem in HaTorah El Derech Bishol. Zok the Shulchan Aruch, that's because there's a separate din over here. That it has to be Osem in Derech Ayis, it has to be Derech Bishol. Okay, so there's certain rules and regulations how to be over the Yisr. But I want it from the Mechabit. The Mechabit paskins like one side of the Gemara and Chul. The Gemara and Chul has all the pshatim, but like this famous side that Rashi quotes in Chumash that everyone knows about, that the Torah wrote Lo Yisav Asher three times to teach me Isra Achila, Isra Ana, and Isra Bishul. There is a famous Targum Unkelus. The Targum Unkelus in all three places writes the same thing. Lo Yisechlum Bsar Bechalova. And the Velt has a kasha on this Targum Unkelus that it seems to be against the Gemara. Because the Targum Unkelus writes that in all three places he translates the same thing. That when it says Lo Yisav Asher, it means Kipshutoi. It means don't eat. And we see from the Gemara that Lo Yisav Asher doesn't just mean eating. Lo Yisav Asher includes other things as well. Okay, that's a kasha that they talk about on the Targum Unkelus in source number 6. The Rambam in Hilchos Ma'achalos Asur seems to come up with a different spin on the Mekara Isser Bas B'chalav, at least the eating part. He writes, Loi Shasa Kakosim Aleser Achila. The Torah was not quiet from outwardly prohibiting Achila. Elo Ibnei She'asar Abishol. Kloimer. Va'afilu Bishulei Yasser. The Rambam learned that the Torah didn't have to write Achila. Once the Torah prohibited Bishul, it's Ein Tzarech Loimer Achila Asser. The Rambam understood from the Torah that the reason why the Torah didn't have to write Achila is because in Bishul, if cooking alone is asr, it goes without saying that eating it is asr. Therefore, Zokter Rambam, the Torah didn't have to write achila. Why not? Because it's self-understood. If I'm not even allowed to cook basa b'chalav, it goes without saying I'm not allowed to eat basa b'chalav. V'ein tzarech loymer achila asr. K'mo she'shasek me'asr habas, just as the Torah didn't have to asr habas, me'ach she'asek bas habas, once the Torah asrs a granddaughter. So Zokter Rambam, there are times that the Torah doesn't need to speak something out. So the Rambam understood that the Torah didn't have to write an Isser Achil because it's self-understood. From the fact that I'm not allowed to cook Basa B'chalav, it goes without saying that I'm not allowed to eat Basa B'chalav. Now, if you look in the Sefer Achinuch number 8, the Sefer Achinuch tries to explain, as do many Rishonim, why exactly did Hashem ask Basa B'chalav? If you ever stop and think about it, what exactly is so wrong with taking Basa and Chalav and mixing them? What am I doing so drastically wrong? What's so negative? What is so bad in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Basa B'chalav? And we'll see tonight some very, very interesting pshatim about why Basa B'chalav is so bad. But the Sefer Chinuch has an interesting line over here. He writes, Mishar Shei Mitzvah, one of the roots of this mitzvah, Lefi Adoyme, Shehu Ki'in Ma Shekosav B'mitzvah Mechashefa. It's like you find by a Mechashefa. What does that mean, Mechashefa? Ye Ki Yesh Bo'oylom Dvarim Shenes Alonu. There are certain things that are usher. Ta'araftem. There are certain things Hashem doesn't want us mixing. Not everything needs to be mixed. Some things should remain separate. You know, not every two things have to go together. Today we live in a world that every restaurant tries to come up with a chap to put two things that you would never think of together, put them together and make a dish out of it. So they say, not everything has to be a mix. Some things are supposed to stay separate. He says, "V'efshe shetaruvas habaser machol b'maisa habishul yesibas esur min ha'yisaylhu." And that's why bas b'chol is also. Because baser and chol are supposed to stay separate. They're not supposed to come together. Just like ketchup and mustard don't come together in separate bottles, you know. Bas b'chalav are supposed to be separate for whatever reason. Uktsas ra'il is a zokta chinuch. I'll bring you a ra'il. This is interesting. The iser is the mixture. Ava pi shaloi nechon, even if I don't eat it. Sheniru b'zeh she'in esur ha'mach was nezeg achilas ha'klal. Zokta sefer ha'chinuch. If bas b'chalav would be dangerous, it would be like poison, then zokta sefer ha'chinuch, okay. So then why would it be an iser? You're allowed to make poison as long as you don't eat the poison. So Zokta Sefer Chinuch, from the fact that there's an Isser b'yisoydeh just to make Basa B'chalav without eating it, that's megala to me that the point is Hashem wants you staying away from the concoction. It's not the eating of the concoction that's the problem, it's the making of the concoction. So he writes, Shenir b'zeh she'in esur ha'mach was nezek achilas ha'chal. It's not the damage of the eating. Rak shloi nasa pu'ulois oisa ha'tarayvois. Don't make the mixture. La'achokas oisa inin shamarnu. So Zokti Sefer HaChinuch, thinks this is a right to his Yisoid. That what Hashem wants us to do is stay away from this combination. Not every, you know, you speak to someone who dabbles in a lab. Anyone who ever worked in a lab will tell you that not every two things go together, because some things you go together, they explode. Zokti Sefer HaChinuch, that's Basa B'Cholof. Basa B'Cholof is that thing that's not supposed to come together. Not because it's poison, because if that's true, there'd be no Isser to make poison. The whole issue would be to eat the poison. Now, I saw a shtickle Torah in an Achron who wanted to be toile, that maybe there's a lomdash and machloikas over here between the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch. Meaning the question is, what is really the Mahosa Isser? Is the Mahosa Isser really Achila? And we only asked Bishul as a Siog? Which again, it's very hard to say like this. But there are those who wanted to declare such a Chakir, that maybe the Ikar Mahosa Isser Bas B'chav is eating it. But the Torah said, I'm not going to allow you to even cook it, lest you may come to eat it. Which is a big chiddush to say like that. The Pashtus one would have not assumed like that. One would have assumed, like the Torah said, that you can't eat it, you can't cook it, you can't be nene. So I saw one of these Achronim wanted to taina that Yichlesh to Chakira. The Isser Bishul Basa B'chalav, what's that about? Is that because intrinsically cooking it is bad? Or is that just because cooking is a Siyag La'achila? So the Sefer wanted to taina from the Sefer HaChinuch, you see clearly, not like that. Because the Sefer HaChinuch says that the Malchus HaIsser is the bringing together of the two things. It's not because of eating it. The Sefer HaChinuch's biggest raya that the Isser Bas B'chalav is about the combination is the fact that there is no Isser. There's an independent Isser Bishul versus Achila. As opposed to the Rambam says that what? So the Rambam, how do you know you're not allowed to eat Bas B'chalav? Oh, because you're not allowed to cook Bas B'chalav. Which means the Rambam was seemingly assuming that there's a connection between the cooking and the eating. While this fellow wanted to tell you that in the Sefer HaChinuch, you see not like that. You see from the Sefer HaChinuch that the Malchusa Isser is the combination, not necessarily the eating of it, and therefore, it might be a Machloikis Rishonim to why exactly are you not allowed to cook Basa B'Chalav. But be it as it may, it is Asr. Now, what are some of the uniquenesses to Basa B'Chalav? What are some of the things that make Basa B'Chalav special? And it's not my Chiddush. It's not my phrase that Basa B'Chalav is special. The Gemara says it. The Gemara actually, in two places in Shas, calls Basa B'Chalav a Chiddush. It's unique. What's so unique about Basa B'Chalav? So the Gemara Taka asks his kasha. Gemara M'sachem Daf Mendal, it's in Gemara Chul Daf Kufches, but the Gemaras are not exactly the same. For example, the Gemara M'sachem is talking about how do you know Tam Ki Iker? Now again, that's obviously something which we need to get into in one of our series if we ever get into more nitty gritty Basa B'Chalav, is this phrase called Tam Ki Iker. Tam Ki Iker basically means that if you have no, you don't have actual Basa and Chalav together, but you have the Tam. You have the belias that was, or the absorption, or the taste that was given off of one into the other. That's tam ki ikar. That even though there's no real basar here, but you have tam basar, that's also a problem. So Gemara says, let's learn enough from basar b'chalav. So Gemara says, you can't. Why? So Gemara, three lines in. Mi basar b'chalav lo yigaminin de chidishu. Because basar b'chalav is a chidish. The concept of basar b'chalav is unique. Frekti Gemara my chidish. What's so special, what's so unique about Bas B'Chalav? If you're telling me what's unique about Bas B'Chalav is that each thing on itself is mutter, the Osir. So the Gemara is a having me that what makes Bas B'Chalav unique is that Basar is mutter and Chalav is mutter. I'm allowed to eat hamburgers and I'm allowed to eat milk. So I take two things that independently alone are mutter, but if they're brought together, they become Osir. So Zakti Gemara, maybe that's what makes it unique. That's a strange thing. Generally speaking, let's say, for example, Nevela, Trefas, Behemoth Tmeya, those things are Asr no matter what you throw up against. But here you have two Dvarim of Mutter, Basar and Mechalav, they're both Kasher. You have Kosher meat, Chsidish and Shechita, whatever that means, and you have Chalav Yisrael milk. They're both Kosher, completely accessible, acceptable for consumption, but you bring them together, it becomes Asr. That's Taka strange. The Gemara says, why is that so strange? Klaim Nami. You find that by Kalayim. Zatima, why is that so unique? You have that by Kalayim. You have that by Shatnez. Tzemer and Pishtim are both wonderful materials to make clothing out of, but if I bring Tzemer and Pishtim together, then I got myself a problem. So the Gemara seems to think that that concept in Halacha of Hayluchudei, Vahayluchudei, Ubadadad, the Aser is not so crazy. So Gemara comes up with another Pshat. Ella di Ataru le Kuliyam v'chal b'shari b'shulei b'shulei Aser. Okay. We'll see what that means maybe in a second. But if it's interesting, if you look in Rashi in Chulin, Rashi in Chulin quotes the same Gemara, and Tosfos Bavurin says that the Gemara over there in Chulin doesn't have the same continuation of our Gemara. The Gemara in Chulin just says, it's a Chiddush, accept it. So Zogt Rashi, what's the Chiddush? So Rashi Taka says what the Gemara rejected. Rashi Taka says that the chiddush of basa b'chalav is the fact that separately it's aser and separately it's mutter, but together it's aser. Secondly, what's aser is because it's aser just to cook it or derech bishul. So there's definitely some chiddush, some uniqueness about basa b'chalav, but again, it could be, it's just like klayim. I heard people like to call basa b'chalav shatnez. They like to make that analogy to shatnez. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. That's just like shatnez. It's like the Sefer Chinuch wanted to say. It's two minim which alone are kosher, brought together they become us. Now it's interesting, in Rishonim, and more the commentaries on the Chumash, they all mutcher to come up with reasons to why Hashem asked basa b'chalav. And one of the more famous ones, or perhaps more difficult to understand, is Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Mishpatim. Number 11, Rabbeinu Bechaya writes this. Yes.
Who says that it's a mishpat? Maybe it's a chok, just like shatness.
Very good. Very good. And echanami. It might be. It might be. It very well might be. We'll see in a second. It very well might be that. But it's just interesting. People don't think of it like that. When people talk about the chukim, they generally don't put basa b'chalav into that category. But l'chayre, it should be. L'chayre, basa b'chalav is just an illogical thing. Hashem said for some reason that basa is okay separate. It is unique. It's like shatnez. I guess the uniqueness of shatnez and klayim is that separately they're okay, but together they become a problem. So Zokta Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Mishpatim, an interesting idea. I can't say I understand it, but I'll definitely try to repeat it. He wrote this. The aldivri ha-pshat tam ha-mitzvah zois. What's pshat in this mitzvah? Lefi shehu mitamtem es ha-leif. It affects the heart. Why on earth does eating a cheeseburger affect your heart? Shayacholov nasim in adam. Because we know milk comes from blood. V'hadam mazgoi ra'am moilet achzorius. And we know that the Torah prohibits all over the place drinking blood, because drinking blood makes you an achzorius. The echad mitame ha isa shibo she'in mekablim shinoi v'spalos beguf kisharat zom anacholim. U'lekach. Right? One of the reasons why it's bad is because they don't accept the change with the body. I'm not sure what that means exactly. So the bad tevet stays there. Ah, one second. So that milk is as bad as blood. Okay, but one second. First of all, it's no longer blood. It now changed to milk. Here's the kicker. I'm allowed to drink milk separately, even though milk came from the dam. And secondly, it's not dam anymore. But that's because, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, that's because it's switched over to milk. But when you mix it with meat, then it goes back to its original source, which is its blood type. It creates timtam alev. Hard to understand what exactly this all means, but Rabbeinu Bechaya is a wild chiddush over here. He wants to tell it because really cholov it comes from blood, and therefore you can't drink it. Why am I allowed to drink milk separately? The answer is because when I drink it separately, it's a changed form called milk. So why can't I eat it with the bus? Because when I eat it with the bus, it somehow reconnects to its original way of being dam, and that's why it's us. Okay, sounds funny to me, but that's the Zayzak Rabbeinu Bechaya. Then Rabbeinu Bechaya goes on to quote the famous Rambam Mamer Nevuchim. The Rambam writes, "Rambam kosev number source 12 on the right side." Rambam kosev that tamei tam betamei. His Rambam gives a reason. This is interesting. Zok the Rambam in Meir Nevuchim. You know why bas b'chalav is also? Because the goyim used to eat bas b'chalav at their base avodah zarah during their holiday time when they used to commemorate holidays. They used to eat bas b'chalav. Al kain boa toyul aser oisoi. That's why if you think about it, and this it never struck me until I read this Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Rambam Rabbeinu Vuchim, why does the Torah always bring down the Isser Bas B'chalav around Yom Tov time? When we talk about the Gimel Regalim, what does that do with the Gimel Regalim? Zok the Rambam Rabbeinu Vuchim, it's very gishmak. Why? Because when the Goyim celebrate their holidays, they eat Bas B'chalav. So when we celebrate our holidays, we also have to remember, obviously a whole year also, but on our holidays we have to remember not to eat like the Goyim. And that's why two out of the three places where Bas B'chalav is brought down, it's around the Yom Tovim time. That's why the Torah asked it, because there are things that are done for Avodah Zarah. We have to go the opposite. To uproot the root, whatever this means, of Shairish Avodah Zarah.
They also drink wine.
I guess some things are beyond, I guess wine drinking was more derech teva. You know, you have to drink something. I guess this was considered more out of the norm procedure. I don't know. I hear it. It's a good question. I can't answer. I don't know. So this is the second pshat and why Bas B'chalav is also. First pshat is Rabbeinu B'chaya, because the dam comes back to the milk comes back to dam when it mixes with the meat. And the second pshat is the Rambam or Nevuchim, because it's basically the ways of the guy. There's another pshat, the Rashbam, in Parshas Mishpatim. He says an interesting pshat, because when the Torah writes the Yisr, the Torah writes, Lo Yisav Hashel Gediba Chalevimei, do not cook a goat in its mother's milk, which literally means, you have a goat, you milk it, now you have milk, and don't take that milk and cook the goat together. Now we know, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that that's not only goat in its own milk. If I kill goat number one and cook it in goat 12's milk, that's also awesome. It doesn't have to only be mother and child. But Zakhtar Rashbam, what's the pshat? He says because it's Daime number 13, Zakhtar Rashbam, Dibra Akaz, V'gnai Wadover B'liyav V'raf Sonis Lecha Cholav Imabonim. You know what's bad over here? It's cruel to eat a mother and child. That's the Torah. You're eating the child and its milk, right? With the mother's milk. Don't cook the goat in its mother's milk. Just like you're not allowed to have, you're not allowed to shecht the mother and its child. Since on Yom Tov we usually consume a lot of animals. So that's why the Torah is reminding us, again, the same ha'ara as Rabbeinu B'chaya. Why the focus on Yom Tov? Hizir b'parshas regalim shal levash v'lechu di b'chalavimoy. For what then? L'chol basa b'chalav. Zakhtar Rashbam, even though the real reason for basa b'chalav is specifically baby and mother, but we kind of extended it to all basa b'chalav. So according to this Rashbam, we come to some ancient. The ruba, the basa b'chalav that we consume is not the real basa b'chalav that the Torah asked. The real basa b'chalav that the Torah asked was the derech achzarius. To eat the mother and the child is achzarius. But we expanded the yisr to include other things as well. Rabbeinu B'chai comes up with his own pshat, which is really not a pshat. He writes number 14 in the Minanira, Ki atomim ha'elu bilti maspikim. He thinks none of these pshatim are really great. It's just none of them are the real reason. They're all here just to push away the question. Michael, you're mechavet to Rabbeinu B'chai. Rabbeinu B'chai says that this mitzvah is a chuk. Mechlal paraduma v'sara mishtaleach. Put it up there in the list of chukim. Next time someone stops you on the street, says, give me a list of chukim. So go, basa b'chalov. That's the top of the list for chukim is basa b'chalov, Zakhtar Rabbeinu B'chai. Up there with paradum and the Sarah Mishtaleh. V'chein Dorshu Chazal, he quotes an interesting medrash. The Osset, Lovek, Kosh Baruch Hu, Megala, Lem Yisrael, and the Matziv Sateri, basa b'chalov. Hashem will eventually tell us. When Mashiach comes, he's going to tell us what? Why he asked basa b'chalov. Why did Hashem make it that we can't get that cheeseburger at McDonald's for $2.99? Instead, we got to go to the kosher restaurants and get it with the fake cheese for $15.99. Okay? This is one of those things that are from the hidden Torah. He says it can't be because of the other pshatim, because when Mashiach comes, we're not going to have any of these things. Interesting, there's no timtum halev when Mashiach comes. Everyone's going to join Hashem. Meaning, says Rabbeinu B'chai, it can't be the two reasons that were given because of Avodah Zarah, because of Timtum Alev. Because that's not a gay once Mashiach comes. It's over, finish, move on. Elamai, must be that the reason is something that will be applicable even when Mashiach comes, and therefore we anticipate Mashiach's arrival so we can get clarity on why Basa B'chalav is us. Okay, good. So the Kliyokar in that Pasuk in Parashat Shmois writes like this. B'tam mitzvizu yatsu reivim mefarishim lulka v'loy matzu b'tam maspik. Everyone searches, and none of them really come up with any great reasons. But he writes this, until they come up with the conclusion, meaning Rabbeinu B'chaya's conclusion, that's a chayk. We don't know why, and move on. Then he writes this, this is the Rambam, that it is chayk l'avodah zarah. And then he writes, and that's why it's always written, at least two out of the three places, the Torah wrote the Issa Bas B'chol of Samach to Yom Tif. But this is interesting. He says, Hevel, what did Hevel bring? He brought his Bechor and the milk. Bas B'chol. Shai Rigidlam Lassus Avoida Mizeh Bas. You see that they used to do things like that. That was pretty acceptable. It wasn't so far-fetched to bring basa b'chalav. I'm not sure where he wants to go with this, but he wants to show that already you find this story by Cain and Hevel, that Hevel himself brought Basa B'chalav. So obviously it was already out there somewhat, this idea of Basa B'chalav. I found in the Sefer, quoting the Sefer Shari Aaron. Shari Aaron is a very geshmak, a likud Sefer on the Chumash, where he quotes from the Sefer Tzara Amar, that why is Basa B'chalav also? Shacholav shu'ut seva lovan, milk is white, harekoyach harachamim. That represents the mercy. Hamelabinim avresim shesod, that whitens our averus. Va'odoyim hu koyach hadin, and red is din. Va'choyte besoid alatein nomad oyim azeh. Meat is red meat. Meat is red, even though obviously when you cook it, it becomes a different color. Milk is white and meat is red. That's a bad shidduch. Ve'in roy la'arav koyach hadinim koyach harachamim. A very more chassidish pshat that milk represents rachamim. Meat represents din, and meat, rachamim and din are never supposed to cross paths. That's why there's an isser of basa b'chal. Okay, all very nice. Be it as it may, the ma'aseh at the end of the day, it does become us. Now, just a mere glimpse of how far the isser of basa b'chal goes. Zot chachmas adam. K'deira shebishu b'basa. Let's say I had a pot, and I cooked in that pot a piece of meat. Okay? I cooked up a hot piece of meat, and now there's bleas in the walls of this pot. Since we hold that within 24 hours, tam ki ikr, the tam is very strong, it's not pogum. Again, we'll get into some of these phrases and terminologies as we go through the sugya, but some of these terminologies you're all familiar with, right? Everyone knows whenever they have a shayla about a fork, a spoon, the first thing the rabbi asks you was it used or was something within 24 hours? Why is that the magical question? Because we say that the tam gets pogum. It gets ruined, it gets affected, it gets ruined after 24 hours. So within 24 hours of the absorption, that's good, strong tam. So the Chayotim says, let's say, and this probably happens and could happen easily in your house. Let's say you have a pot that you cooked up a nice piece of meat in it, and within that 24 hours, you totally forgot and you put a milchika dish. You just cooked basa b'chalav, midaraisa. There's no basa here. The answer is yes, but tam ki ikr. Since tam ki ikr, it's within 24 hours. It's me'es la'es, it's within 24 hours, so you mamish cook basa b'chalav. Zotachach masad, in such a case, you mamish cook basa b'chalav. It's hard to imagine it, but that's the chayr what comes out. So usually when we think about basa b'chalav, we think about, you know, midrabbanan scenarios. But here is a very shaykh case, we can have basa b'chalav midrais. If you look at number 17b, the Peschei Tshuva discusses a shayla. And this again is also negeya. Let's say, for example, you have Goyisha help in the house. And you know your Goyisha, cleaning lady, maid, whatever you have in the house, she likes the ham and cheese. She likes the basa b'chalav. Not ham and cheese. Take that back. She likes basa b'chalav. She likes cheeseburgers. So you decide to make her a cheeseburger. Again, kosher meat, kosher cheese, everything's dasa kadin, and you make it for her. You go out and you buy a special pot, a treifa pot for her, a gevaldik, treifa pot. Now, l'choyru, that's an issa deraisa. That's bishul basa b'chalav. So Peschei Tshuva writes in the Sefer, quoting from the Chamude Daniel, shemutur levashel basa lo'ev yichav mikderu shecholav eina ben yoyma. Let's say you want to cook basa. He talks about a different shayla. Let's say you want to cook a piece of meat for a guy, but all you have is a pot of milk. You have a milchika pot, but the milchika pot's not a ben yoyma. Again, let's say, for example, my cleaning lady tells me she wants a hamburger. And I have a toaster oven that I cook open milchiks in. But she's insisting that I heat up for her hamburger. Fine. So I want to put the hamburger in the toaster oven. Now, if that toaster oven, again, putting aside all the details of what's considered bleus and not, but let's just keep it simple. Let's assume that would be a problem of bleus. So then, that would be aser. That was a Chachmas Adam told us. But says the Peschei Tshuva, if you're doing it for an Eina Yehudi, and it's an Eina Ben Yoyma, the Chosha Eini aser Rach Midir Rabbanon, Loi Gazu Bishol Vahana. That wouldn't be such a problem. Again, because once it's Eina Ben Yoyma, it's not the Reis anymore. It's only the Rabbanon. So Zogte, that would be okay. It would be a lot of cook, baser, for a guy in an Eina Ben Yoyma pot. Then there's no gzeir bishul v'hanah. Bishul v'hanah is only aser when the thing that I'm trying to do is deraisa. That's if the pot would be a ben yoyma pot. But since over here the pot is an ene ben yoyma, so then I would be allowed to cook it and give it to my guy. V'chein leka marisayin, demi yodeh hukder, no one knows. However, he goes right at the end, the efshek mishum de matchi, okay, So mikol makim yesh lahachmer. But then the Pesach Teshuva says nonetheless you shouldn't do that either. So even if you want to cook, let's say for example you want to cook up a piece of meat for a goy that ain't a ben yoyim a milchik apat, Pesach Teshuva thinks you shouldn't do that either. Okay. Now, what's included in the Isser of Basar B'chalav? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, Simon, number 18, Simon Pei Zayin, Mechaber writes, Einoi noig elo bebasar behema tahira, b'chalav behema tahira. Very strange. In order for Basar B'chalav to be a problem, it has to be a combination that both of the two parties, the Basar and the Chalav, are both kosher. Meaning, it's kosher meat, and it's kosher milk. As opposed to, let's say, for example, pig, or camel, with goat's milk. Right? That would not be basa b'chalav. Avo basa tahira b'chalav tami. But let's say, for example, I have a piece of meat with pig's milk. Oy, basa tmeya. Or let's say, for example, I have trefa meat, I have pig's milk, pig's meat, b'chalav tahira. With chalav Yisrael, whatever the kosher company is, I don't know, whatever. Right? Chalav tahira. Mutarim b'bishol v'hano. Then it's okay. Then it's okay. Then why makes the drasha? Because lo yisavasha gadi b'chei levima are both all tahar. So why makes the drasha? Basa b'chalav is only if they're both tahar. So this made me think like this, that, you know, many people talk about how can a frum yid work in Burger King? Can a frum yid work in Burger King? And can a frum yid own Burger King? A place that makes, you know, hamburgers that are cheeseburgers. So first of all, again, I didn't have a chance to fully research this. To the best of my knowledge, they don't make the cheeseburger, they don't make it together. They make the hamburger separately and the cheese separately, and they just put it together at the end. They don't actually, unless I'm wrong, they don't actually cook it together. Meaning what would really be a problem was if they took the hamburger and they soaked it in milk before they cooked it. Or they poured milk into it. The way I understand it is they cook it separately. They have a section where they fry up burgers, and they have another section where they fry up cheese. Now, it could be, when they bring them both together, that might also be a form of bishul together. I don't know. I'm not getting into that now. But I don't think, as far as my limited research in how you make a good cheeseburger, I don't believe they're actually cooking it mamish, unless the mamish cooking it on the same fire next to each other. I don't know. It could be at some point when the burger's still on the fire, they throw the piece of cheese on it. That could be, I don't know. Maybe that's the way they do it. Now, so I was thinking, so 1 second. So l'chayra, when you go to, what are they serving you? Where's the meat come from if you're going to get a cheeseburger? It's not pig milk. It's not pig meat. It's kosher. It's from a cow. Now, it's not behemoth tmeya. Now, again, that would be a piece of bacon. If you want bacon and cheese, so bacon and cheese would be okay because bacon and cheese is from a behemoth tmeya. It's from a pig. But if you want a burger with cheese, so that burger comes from a cow. Norvos, it's not a behemoth tmeya, but it's a nevela. It wasn't shechted properly. So what's the din of behema? What's the din of basa nevela? Bechol of tahar. The Mechaber says that if you have basa behemoth tmeya, if the meat came from a non-kosher animal, then it's not basa b'cholav. So I want to know what would happen if the meat came from a kosher animal, the meat came from cow, but it's not kosher meat because it wasn't shechted properly. Again, to my knowledge, I don't know. I would assume that hamburgers that you buy in a place like that you get in these non-kosher restaurants, that's cow meat. It's not the best quality, but it's still cow. It's not coming from any other animal. I don't believe they're giving you goat. I don't believe they're giving you camel meat. They're giving you cow meat, unless you get pig. Then they're giving you pig. So what's the din with that? So if you look over in number 19, the Dolgo Merivovo, the Noidib Yehuda, he writes like this. Ubas nevela. What about bas nevela? V'chem chelev, fat, which is also a part of the animal you're not allowed to eat. Also levasho b'cholav min ha-teira. That's also aser. V'loik al b'shul, you take a malchus for that. Okay, so bas nevela, that's what they're serving in McDonald's, is bas nevela. So according to this Dogma Merivova, if you have bas nevela, you have hamburgers that were not shechted, the meat was not shechted properly, and you're going to cook it with milk, that's not going to be deraisa. But there would be no iser achil on that, which is very strange. What about hana? That ain't in mevor b'devei Rambam. That's not clear in the Rambam. Avol pirusha mishnayis mizachas krisis perik shlishi v'mishno yesh oichal oichal achil achas mevor shom b'devei Rambam she'ain osir b'hana. That's not osir b'hana. So it sounds like from the Rambam that if you have basa b'chalav and the basa is only in the vela, it's not isra'no. Ain't shom nekuda on a flush of yisham, Actually, the Taisim says Chulin. Shekas v'shisa no loy mikri isa ma'isiv. Okay, fine. Hamikomakom v'mitzil la Taisim. Okay, fine. So zok the dog merivav at the end. Ulechen asim mechazem makom hefsel loy hefsed. It sounds like from the dog merivav that there is makom to be mekel. If you have a big hefsed coming out of a situation of basar nevela with basar with chalav would be mutter. So I'm not sure. Again, I didn't have a chance to fully research it. I sent the shayla to someone before the shir. I didn't get an answer yet. So I'm just, this is just basic amaratzis, it might be. That to me, it sounds like that the meat that you're going to get in a place like Burger King is going to be Boston Nevela. Boston Nevela b'cholov should not be asar b'ano, according to the Rambam. So then the whole shayla about how can a person own these types of restaurants, I'm not sure why they're such a big deal. Because you're not having real Boston b'cholov, you're having Boston Nevela. And according to the Rambam, it could be Boston Nevela is not a problem anyway. So that's something we perhaps have to look into at another time. Now, just to round up the Isser of Basa B'chalav, we're going to just quickly take a sidestep into a very famous thing. If you look over here in the Mechaber number 20, the Mechaber writes, Basa Chayiv Oif, what happens if you have chicken? You have birds. Afilu B'chalav Tahira, Mutter B'vishal B'hano. That's Mutter. Af B'achila Ein Asa Madrabon. Again, chicken and milk is only Asa B'achila Madrabon. So let's say, for example, you want to have not a cheeseburger, but you want to have a cheese cutlet. That is no Isser Hana. So let's say, for example, if a guy wants to, if you want to feed a guy, or you want to give something to a guy that's a cheese, that's a chicken, I don't even know if they make this, a chicken cutlet with cheese, that is not Isser Hana, because that's only Isser Midrabban. Aval dogim v'chagovim, what about fish and, what about fish and cheese? Ein bohem isra afil midrabanan. There is absolutely no problem, even midrabanan, to mix fish together with cheese. No such isra. Now, what would you have thought? I guess one would have thought that maybe fish is somehow in the meat family. The answer is they're not. Fish is completely 100% mutter. A person is allowed to have fish together with his dairy. Now, why is this interesting? Because of the very famous Beis Yosef, number 20. Says the Beis Yosef, one should not eat fish with milk, with chalav, and they are sakana, because it's dangerous. Now, we know that there's a Gemara in Pesachim, brought down la halacha, that you're not supposed to have fish and meat is dangerous. Could we even discuss this?
That is according to the Sfaradim.
I'm going to get to that. Very good, Chaim. I'm going to see what the Sfaradim do. We'll talk more about that in a second. But the way the Beis Yosef says it, Beis Yosef Cairo writes that one should not eat fish with milk because it's dangerous. And he says, like it says over there in Kuf Ayin Gimel. Now, Kuf Ayin Gimel is where it talks about not basar. Kuf Ayin Gimel is discussing over there the issue of meat and fish. That's a Gemara. The Gemara says, Amsachim, that meat and fish brings saras. But there is no Gemara in Shas, at least explicitly, there might be a Gemara that derives it, that fish and dairy is dangerous. So what is this Beis Yosef supposed to mean? So if you look at now, first of all, the Mechaber, who was also written by the Beis Yosef Cairo, seems to say not like that. What did the Mechaber just tell us? He said, dogim v'chagovim, fish and, I guess, grasshoppers, there's no Isser, even midrabanan, to eat them with milk. So the implication would be is it completely 100% okay to eat the two. Now the Beis Yosef says, oh, not so fast, you can't eat because it's dangerous. So Zokta Daki Moshe, Zokta Ramon, number 21, I never saw anyone in my days that would not eat fish and cheese. Now, where does this come up the most? This is a good bagel, cream cheese and lox. What's cream cheese and lox? Fish and meat. Fish and dairy. Now we'll see, maybe cream cheese and lox is different because cream cheese is really a cheese, it's not mamish milk. But let's say, for example, you want to have a fish, mamish, cooked in with milk. According to this, it's a problem. Zog de Ramah, I never saw anyone that was careful on this. He writes, and even in Arachayim Kuf Ayin Gimel, Eini Elishol Elechol Basar Mishum Sakana. That was talking about fish and meat, not fish and dairy. So he writes, mamish doesn't know what's going on over here. So he writes over here, L'chein nirish in this Arev L'rav Beis Yosef Basar B'chalav. A little play on words over here. He thinks he mixed in Basar B'chalav, meaning it's a typo. This Beis Yosef is a typo. When it says, Ein le'echol dogim b'chalav, it's supposed to read, Ein le'echol dogim b'basar. But someone switched the word chalav and basar. Someone mixed basar with chalav. A cute play on words. To mix basar with chalav means the author, who the Beis Yosef, whoever wrote it, instead of the word chalav, it should have been the word basar. And that's what the Shach writes over there, number 22. The Shach writes, he says over number 22, that the Sefer Ater Zahav says, you're not supposed to eat fish and meat. I'm sorry, fish and dairy. It's dangerous. This Sefer Ater Zahav got it from the Beis Yosef. It's a mistake. Because only there it's fish and meat. Says the Shach, I never heard, I never saw. Everyone does it. Everyone in their cousin is cooking dairy with fish. Then he quotes the Darkei Moshe, and therefore he concludes the Shach, as does the Taz, that is absolutely 100% completely permissible to cook fish and dairy, no such problem. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, Aruch HaShulchan, the great Rav Abbezin of Nevardik, so he writes also, he says, "Upshita sheyochel vashel dogim mechov." It's pashit, you're allowed to cook fish with milk, ulochlam, and to eat them. V'chein aminik pashit b'chol tfutz Yisrael. That was the accepted practice in all of Klal Yisrael. V'da, and you should all know, she'tos noifel b'sifra ha'godol sh'abin b'Beis Yosef. There was a printing mistake in the Beis Yosef. She'kosef she'in lechol dogim mechov, who says you're not supposed to eat dogim mechov? B'sham b'vor al basar. It's pashut, says the Aruch HaShulchan, like the Ramah, like the Shach. It's a misprint. You're supposed to change the word dogim. You're supposed to change the word chalav for basar. Then he writes, "V'yesh rotzim l'kaim zev omer shematzu b'sifri haroifim sheyesh takana b'dogim b'chalav." He says that those who want a tiny note, it's not a misprint, but as science and medicine developed, we learned that this talk is some medical issue. There's some danger, medically speaking, to have this concoction. He writes, "Veina king." It's not true. The Rabbeinu B'chai kasa pashim mishpatim shasakana hu bedogim im gvino. He says the danger with fish and cheese. Umizet noifel tzaras adam ayin sham v'loy bedogim b'cholov. That's not with milk. That's maybe with cheese. Again, difference between cheese and milk. V'oid im kidivreim. If that's so, lomo loy kovah zeh b'shulchan aruch. Why is it not in shulchan aruch? V'oid v'chol oylem oichlim zeh. Everyone eats it. V'nechshu nachal chashuv. No one is worried about this. No problem, says Aruch HaShulchan. Don't sweat it. Everyone is maker. Everyone, but not the Sfardim. If you look in Yakut Yosef, Bavad Yosef's son, same thing as the Tshuva and Yechavadas, is a Tshuva in Yabi Oimer, where he writes now, he writes, one should refrain from eating fish with milk, or in gvino with cheese. No fish and cheese. Because it's dangerous. But if you're going to have fish with a chama is dairy like a whip. Rashayim lishab and that you can keep. The yoytze Ashkenaz noigim local b'chalze Ashkenaz is maker completely. The yeshem al sheyismuch they have what to rely on. But to the nara nara pashtei everyone does what everyone does. So it sounds like Ashkenazim don't take this at all as an issue. However, look at Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Alich Shlomo number 25. He writes, "Dogu gvina, fish and cheese, nog beveis rabbeinu shloilochol miachad." In Reb Shlomo Zalman's house, they would not eat them together. K'moishin nogu beveis avoyse, like he saw growing up. Uli shoylim hayre, and the people asked him, "Shekimish ein minig zed muskum l'kulyama." This is not an accepted practice in all circles. The rabbim v'toivim einam zehirim mekach, and there are some very good God-fearing Jews that are not makbid. The gam kosev v'tar seifim, when there are those who say that the whole thing is based on a prispit of the Beis Yosef. Ein tzarich lizor b'dover elo mi shekein he meseris Beis Avosef. He says, therefore, you only have to keep it if you have a meser in your family. Your grandparents and your great-grandparents had a meser like that. He says, v'alak kelim ein lochosh b'chol gadli. You don't have to worry about kelim. Let's say, for example, you want, this is very negay. Let's say you want to cook fish in a pot. Then you want to turn around and cook cheese in the pot. So he says that's for sure not a thing. Let's say the guy says, I have no Messiah, but my father did it. So he said, he says like that, you give yourself a little wiggle room. You can always back out. He says, if your father started the minhag, so he thinks that in that case that you should be mekabel bli neder. And this way, that if, you know, you go to your in-laws for a meal and they're serving you such a dish, you can, you have a way out of backing out of your neder. But if you mekabel it legitimately, then you're stuck. Then you're not allowed to eat it under any circumstance. I found an interesting tshuva, which I can't really understand, from the Chaskel Roth, an Amic tshuva. Someone asked him, number 26, there's a dish that they make from cheese and fish. Crows, cheese, im lox. Cream cheese im lox. Cream cheese im lox. Very gishmak a dish. Cream cheese with lox. And there are those rabbonim who even give ashkacha to this dish of cream cheese with lox. So what was the shayel's problem? So he says, "V'tehem masa halo gvina im dogim u'kul yamein lechu." You're not allowed to have gvina in dogim. So why is this dish get a hashkacha? So Reb Chaskel Roth answered, "Tshuva kifi shechacharti nechona dove shatoyim." You're right. Sheyesh rabbanim shenoisim al zehech. So there are rabbanim who give a hashkacha. Ube'emes adove tmumoid. Eich lechosh ulzeh. Kimi oylam b'chobote Yisrael nizaru shalalecho dogim u'gvina yachem. In all of the Jewish homes, they were always makvin not to eat dogim u'gvina. I don't know which Jewish homes he's referring to. And then he goes on to explain that he thinks that this whole concoction came from the Goyim, and we're not supposed to try to have dishes to copy the Goyim, which I'm not getting into tonight. That's a big discussion. Is it right for us to take fake meat and cheese and try to make imitation this and imitation that? But that's his psak, and I'm not sure what he's referring to. If you look in Reb Eliashiv's Shu'ur Ma'maseches Chulin, Reb Eliashiv says, "Mikol makom zmanenu nishtanu atevim." He says, we are makbe today not to cook fish and gvino, but there is no issur to eat the two together. So you see, even in the Ashkenazic world, there were gedolim that had this chumra of gvino v'dogim, even though strictly speaking, gvino v'dogim should be mutter. So I just wanted to get that topic in, as that's like an offshoot of basa b'chalav. Really, basa b'chalav is also, but somehow maybe not only is the basa b'chalav that's also, maybe dogim also worked its way in a little bit as well. Okay, we have a few minutes left tonight. Okay, this was really just a 101 intro to basa b'chalav. I wanted to spend a little time just discussing some interesting Chanukah shalas that came in and some interesting Chanukah ha'aris. This year I got an interesting shayla from a Talmud of mine, where his situation is the following. He has a grandmother who lives by herself, and the grandmother is on heavy, heavy oxygen. She has a lot of lung issues, which sadly, I'm sure there are many yidden this year due to COVID that perhaps find themselves in this situation, that they're on oxygen or they need oxygen. And oxygen is extremely flammable. So the question is it permissible to light the menorah or something else because of the issue of the flammability of the menorah? So the truth is, you have to know the metzias about how dangerous it is and how flammable and how big the room and this, that, and the other. But if it's taka true that the room is very flammable and you have no other etzah, so I thought, and that was my original psak, that the best etzah would be is to light an electric menorah. Because we did have a shiur here, it's on YU Torah many years ago, about the issue of can you use electric menorah or can't you use electric menorah. And again, the consensus of the Gedolei HaRabbonim is not to use an electric menorah. But there is an opinion that maybe B'Shas HaTchak it is okay. There is a psak from B'Shamah Zalman, that B'Shamah Zalman held that it's better to use flashlights than electric menorah. Because again, when I say electric, I mean incandescent lights. I don't mean the lights which are hard to find, I understand. I don't mean LED lights. I mean incandescent where there's a bulb that gets hot, which someone told me is very hard to find today, but if you have one of those. So B'Shamah Zalman held that that's better, a flashlight is better than electric, because electricity, meaning when I fill up my cup with oil and a wick, so I'm giving it the ability to have enough in it to light. But electricity, I'm not in control. There could be a sudden blizzard, like we might be getting here in the New York area in the next couple of days, and it's going to knock down your power. So when you attack a lit electric menorah, it didn't have the yicholus to go, this man, and it's ki'ilu you were madluk without the proper ship. Mashenkin said, if you have a battery, and you have a full battery, so then when you were madlik with the battery, it had the yicholus, enough shemen, enough equivalent of shemen to go burn. So Shem Zalman was of the opinion, it's better to use that than it is to use an electric menorah. So that's what I told the fellow. I told the fellow that I think you should probably use incandescent bulbs or get a flashlight. But I don't think you should make a bracha. I definitely don't think you should make a bracha on such adlaka. And I wasn't sure, and I spoke to Rabbi Yaakov Forsheimer, a very, very chashuv rav in Lakewood, one of the biggest rabbanim in Lakewood, and he concurred with my psak, which was nice to hear. He thought if that's taka the situation. Now again, after the fact, the fellow told me that he ended up lighting a regular menorah, and as of yet, the house hasn't blown up. Now, I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. You have to discuss it with your local oxygen expert to know if that's safe or not. Again, obviously, no one should ever put themselves in sakana to do a mitzvah. That's obviously not the Ratzon Hashem. But if it's taka not a sakana, it's taka not a sakana. But lo yitzur, taka be a real sakana, then that would be the right psak to follow. So that was one interesting shiloh. Another interesting shiloh that someone called me up with the other day was that they live in the neighborhood not far from their parents. And they went to their parents anticipating or expecting to spend the night there. But for whatever reason, it didn't work out. I think that was the way it went. Or maybe they never intended. But they ended up lighting menorah by their parents' house. And now they're going to go home to their house. Could they relight when they get back to their house? So this is something we speak a lot about over here. And we've spoken about this in the past. You can also listen online. I don't like what people do in Klal Yisrael. That they'll go to a family friend for a Hanukkah party. They'll go to a family or a friend for a Hanukkah party. And they'll spend the afternoon by their friend. And the Hanukkah party is called from 4 to 8. And they'll bring their menorah with them. And they'll light menorah at their friend's house or at their cousin's house. And then they'll go back home after the Hanukkah party. I think that's absolutely incorrect. That's not your bias. The mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is Ner Rishu Beis. It's supposed to be your house. So if I'm staying there, I'm sleeping there for the night, that becomes my bias. So I can light menorah in that bias. Now, you could maybe be mishtatif. You could be mishtatif with the bala bias, but to put your own menorah there, it's to me, it's very hard to understand. It's not your bias. It's not your house. So if a person lights menorah at his friend's, at his cousin's Hanukkah party, I don't think he's yotzei menorah. So in this case, I thought that maybe you have to relight. I think you definitely have to relight. The question is, what about a bracha? What about to relight with a bracha? So over here, there might be another tzad, because maybe over here, if Itaka came in with the pretense idea that he's going to be staying here for the night, and at the time of Hadlaka, that was his das, and maybe that was his bias at the time of Hadlaka. This reminds me of the shayla of Matzeh Shabbos Chanukah. Every year, Matzeh Shabbos Chanukah, the question has always come in of, I was by my parents and my in-laws for Shabbos, now I'm leaving Matzeh Shabbos, where do I light menorah? So the shayla is, how do we look at it? Do we say that my parents' house was my bias for the last 26 hours, so I can light here? Or do you say that no, it was my bias, but now I'm switching over to my own bias. My house is my new bias, and therefore I'm switching over to that. And therefore I should light there. And the answer is, there's six on one side and six on the other side. Again, we've discussed this all in the past shurim. The Maamar Kermis are probably available somewhere. Michael probably has them somewhere. I have them somewhere. But the truth is, it's again, this is all discussed amongst the Achrayim. And the Achrayim basically are six on one side, six on the other side. There's really no machria. I generally tell people, do what's ever easier, because I think both sides of who to be Saimichan. So maybe here also, maybe in the case with the guy Taka, if at this man had luck, he taka thought this was his bias. And maybe at this man had luck, it was his bias. And then the plans, they changed later. Maybe that's doimit to that case. At the end of the day, I told the guy, I think he should light again in his house, but without a bracha. I think that's the safest bet. The typical shilas that keep on coming in is people that are going to be lighting after what we assume is Tichla Vega Menashuk. Someone called me today. He's going to come home from work at 10 o'clock tonight. What does he do then? So again, it's questionable if Tichla Vega Menashuk Bezman Hazeh extends to beyond the time that was given by the Rishonim. It's questionable, depending on where you live, when exactly is it really Tichla Vega Menashuk. And then the third possibility is, can you light menorah just for you by yourself? So generally speaking, I tell people, try to light menorah with another family member up, a wife, children, that would be the best. 10 o'clock, I'm not convinced, at least where this fellow lives, is for sure Tichla Vega Menashuk. It could be there's still people on the street at 10 o'clock. Again, depends where you live. I think parts of very suburban communities, parts of Muncie, maybe even parts of the five towns, depending on what blocks you live on, might be Tichla Vega Menashuk at 10 o'clock. I'm not convinced it's not. Here in Queens, I think, at least where I live, my house is on a pretty busy street. I don't think it's Tichla Vega Menashuk at 10 o'clock. I think it could be Tichla Vega Menashuk maybe very late where I live. But in any case, I think at 10 o'clock, if your wife is up or someone else is up, I think for sure without a suffix, a person should be able to light with a bracha without any issue. Some things that we haven't discussed in the past, I just want to get to is, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh, we know we're going to take out two Sifrei Torah. We're going to learn from the first Sefer three Aliyahs from the Rosh Chodesh. We're not going to say Chatzi Kaddish. We're then going to take out the second Sefer. We're going to then use the second Sefer and read from the Chanukah. Then we're going to do Hagbah, but then we're going to have the Chatzi Kaddish after the Parshas Nosar reading. There happens to be a din in the Achronim, if when you say the Kaddish, do you have to put the first Sefer back on the Bima? And some Achronim say the only reason why you have to put the first Sefer back on the Bima is because you don't want people thinking that the Maftir doesn't count. But over here, everyone knows that the first Sefer was important. So there's a din if you have to put the Sefer on or not. But either way, it's important to realize that the Kaddish is going to be said after the completion of the entire Kriya, not after the first three Aliyahs. Also interesting is that we know, by now everyone probably realizes, that the laning every day of Chanukah corresponds to the Kriyas HaNasiim. Now, because Chanukah was a made-up Yom Tov Ma'id Rabbanon, it became very hard to figure out what the laning should look like, because usually the laning is Mu'ara, it relates to the story in the Torah, but there is no story into the Torah of Chanukah. So Chazal had to find something that's similar to it, and similar is to the Chanukah HaMizbeach, which took place Chanukah time. Which, as we mentioned last week, shares one of the reasons why the Darkei Moshe writes that a Chanukah party might be Sudas Mitzvah, because they commemorate the Chanukah HaMizbeach Bizman HaMishka. So for that reason, the Poskim say, if you read for the Nasi of the wrong day, you're still Yotze. Because, again, the whole Akbada was really just to get a Kriya in relating to the Nasim. It doesn't matter specifically which day that it was. Okay, I think everything else we discussed in previous shurim, I just wanted to discuss those three shayos. And Mr. Shem, next Tuesday night, the shir will be discussing what you need to know when Asar B'Teves falls out on Friday. Okay? Enjoy the rest of Chanukah. Have a Freilich Chanukah. Be well and be safe.